Greetings, comrades. These are the news of the Nordic Nation. This is a news broadcast produced by members of the Nordic Resistance Movement. The following is a gathering of different news bites translated from our websites during the week gone by. And we're talking about week 28 in the current year 2017. And we'll start out with some troubling news coming out of Norway. Norway spent 12 billion kroner on integration program, had poor results. Norwegian agencies have spent 12 billion kroner, approximately 1.5 billion US dollars, on a so-called introduction program for refugees. The program was intended to either make the invaders get a job or get a higher level of education after the program was finished. But the results have been lacking. 4,469 invaders went through the program last year, but only 46% continued to either work or study afterwards. The Norwegian Minister of Migration and Integration, Like Ribemoen, blames the municipalities for the poor results. The municipalities should do what they know works. Namely, you need to get out of the classroom and start working to get the opportunities to practice Norwegian. That gives good results, says Ribemoen to TV2. 15,291 so-called refugees are expected to go through the program during 2017 and 2018, which will further increase the cost by billions. TV2 uses Mohammed Ahmed Muhammad as an example of someone who has managed well after the two-year-long course. He currently has a trainee position at the town hall in Ullsaker municipality. Now, after the expensive two-year-long course, Muhammad works with selling cinema tickets, working in the kitchen and in the kiosk, something he himself is very content with. He personally thinks it's a very good experience. He says, "It goes well. I like it here. To get a job, you need experience." Are those Norwegians, eh? Pretty crazy. Forty shootings in Malmö. The police believe they're on the right track. During last year, there were a total of 63 shootings in Malmö. 7 people were killed and 25 were injured. This year, between the 1st of January and the last of July, 6 people have been killed in Malmö. During the same time period, there have been a total of 40 shootings and 16 people have been injured. The police states that the events often are related to criminal gangs and their activities. They exist in every residential area and guard their territory if it involves selling of narcotics, says Claes Hermansson, the head of investigation division in Malmö, and he then continues, "They're often in a feud with other areas, but can suddenly begin to cooperate. We have a better grip who is involved in the different constellations today," says Mats Karlsson, one of the commanders in dealing with so-called special events. And he continues, "An important part of the police's work is that we're often out and talking to the people living in the different residential areas. It creates trust. An investment is also done for extended camera surveillance in more vulnerable locations." The police also stated that it's problematic that they get so few witnesses, but they also say that it's only possible to be anonymous in emergencies and that they prefer that their witnesses give their name publicly. New age test results in 5 out of 6 invader children are not children. The Swedish National Board of Forensic Medicine started to age test invaders in the middle of March this year. The reason is to conclude if the invaders are considered children in legal terms. The examinations were requested by the Swedish Migration Agency so that they could be used in the process of approving asylum. The method used is a combination of X-ray scan of the subject's wisdom teeth, as well as an MRI examination of one of their knee joints. A pathologist then examines how far the body has come in the maturing process. The results were finally released during the 4th of July and covers everyone examined until June, a total of 1,481 people. So 1,215 out of the 1,481 invaders were over 18 years old. In 13 cases, the agency deemed that the examinations might indicate that the invaders were 18 years or older. But the remaining 253 cases were deemed that, yes, they might actually be children. The desperation surrounding mass immigration. Denmark will send condoms to Africa. Plenty of projects aimed at stopping the mass immigration to Europe has been announced in the past few days. Yesterday, Nordfront reported that a group of nationalists had launched a boat in the Mediterranean Sea intended to stop Europeans from becoming minorities in their own countries. And today, the conservative website Breitbart reported that the Danish government are investing 91 million Danish kroner, approximately $11 million, on contraceptives, which are supposed to decrease Africa's explosive population growth. Ulla Tørnæs from the Liberal Conservative Party Venstre, the Danish Minister of Foreign Aid, mean that it's an important priority for both the national safety and for the foreign politics in the Danish government to slow down the uncontrolled population growth in Africa. A part of the solution of decreasing the pressure of migrants against Europe is to decrease the high population growth in many African countries, says the minister and continues. If the population growth in Africa continues as it does today, then the African population will double from 1.2 billion to 2.5 billion people by the year of 2050. If contraceptives really will stop the Africans from procreating in the same pace as they have been doing today, is yet to be seen. Record increase in gender dysphoric youth. One in 100,000 Swedes were diagnosed with gender dysphoria, the delusion that you belong to another gender than your own, or related diseases during 2005. In 2015, this number has increased to 8 in 100,000. Gender dysphoria is generally cured in Sweden with gender reassignment treatment, which has the intention of conforming to the patient's delusions. The numbers are from the Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare, who also confirmed that the increase is most apparent among people in the ages of 18 to 28 years old, and gender dysphoria is also more common among women than among men in this age group. Peter Salmi, who is an investigator at the Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare, doesn't know what the cause of the increase may be, but suggests that it's society's increased knowledge about gender identity and gender expressions, as well as a greater openness generally. In 2016, the Swedish psychiatry warned that the amount of people diagnosed with gender dysphoria had increased dramatically, which has, among other things, caused a massive strain on the 7 clinics responsible for treating this mental illness. Earlier this year, the Swedish government proclaimed that they will abolish the demand for diagnosis to begin gender reassignment treatment, something that will probably increase the pressure on these clinics further. The Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare has also discussed removing gender dysphoria as an official disease, as soon as they can motivate treating formerly healthy people. The Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare is currently preparing an investigation for finding the cause of the drastic increase of gender delusional people. If the Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare will take the LGBTQ lobby's aggressive and subversive propaganda into account is currently unknown, but they have, through their webpage, announced that they are planning to participate in both Stockholm and Malmö Pride in August this year. 6 Iraqis convicted for honor killing an Afghan. In April last year, a number of bystanders in Gävle, Sweden, witnessed a group of Iraqis kidnapping an Afghan. After the Iraqis had kidnapped the Afghan, they first beat him up severely and then suffocated him to death. 6 people have now been convicted for what has been described as an honor killing. The proof was provided by the perpetrators themselves, as they had recorded their phone calls to each other where they were discussing the murder. Others were initially also suspected, two were acquitted of all charges in court, and at least one escaped charges by leaving the country. Five of them were convicted to life in prison, and the sixth person was convicted to 14 years in prison, deportation after the sentence has been served due to their low age. The murder is believed to have been motivated by an out-of-marriage relationship between one of the convicted, Sara Abdul Raska Diabar, with the murdered Afghan, who she had met at an integration project. The convicted was the woman and her husband, her brothers, as well as friends to their family. The murdered Afghan had previously pleaded for help from the police multiple times because he feared for his life. He had also pointed out the perpetrators to the police before his death. And this is a fine example of so-called imported problems that we have in the Nordic nation today. The Swedish border, wide open. The Swedish police in Malmö and Helsingborg now warn about a situation where more than half of the invaders can't be ID checked, mainly because of lack of personnel, especially during the summer. This makes it impossible for all border stations to be manned. Around 220 and 350 new seeking asylum seekers arrive to Sweden each week, a number which has been more or less unchanged since March last year. But the amount of people arriving without viable IDs increase. 100 new ID controllers are currently being recruited, but these won't begin their service until September. The borders are basically wide open until then. It means that people who shouldn't be allowed to travel into Sweden get the opportunity to do so. Some may come here to commit crime, others may have been expelled previously for having committed crimes in the country, says Patrik Engström, the head of the Swedish Border Police, to the Swedish Daily News. The following is a message from Håkan Forvald, the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement in Norway. An important message concerning the demonstration in Fredrikstad. There has been quite a few back and forths concerning our demonstration in Fredrikstad on the 29th of July. Our application for the demonstration permit was sent out a week before the 1st of May demonstration in Falun, and the police then approved the organization's demonstration for the day fairly quickly. The planning for the demonstration was going at full speed, and quite a lot of work had been put down when the police suddenly changed their mind in the matter and prohibited the demonstration. We of course contacted our lawyer immediately and appealed the decision to prohibit the demonstration. The lawyer clarified in the beginning stage that an appeal probably wouldn't change anything, as the police had informed the organization in the last minute, before the vacation began. There is no doubt that this was done intentionally by the police. The police put forth a suggestion, after pressure from our lawyers, public critique from well-known freedom of speech experts, and a negative publicity for the police in the international media, that we should apply for a demonstration permit on a date later this year. We don't see this as an alternative, because we see it as principally wrong to allow the police to dictate when or where we're allowed to demonstrate. If a permit even will be applied for next time is something that will be discussed internally. We view ourselves with or without the police permission to be supported by the Constitution to be allowed to spread our message. Sympathizers and others who have planned to participate in the demonstration are discouraged by us to travel to Fredrikstad on the 29th of July, as you would with all certainty be arrested by the police. Instead, we encourage everyone to be extra active this weekend in the areas where you live and show the system that their attempts to silence us only makes the resistance stronger. The future. We have multiple exciting activities planned this summer and therefore promise our members, activists and sympathizers that the summer will be continued rich in content under the sign of the struggle. Because our choice of slogan have caused such a rage among our enemies and made the entire establishment gather in defense of the gay lobby, it is clear that we have hit a nerve, and that our choice, therefore, is entirely right. We choose to make the slogan "Crush the Gay Lobby" the theme for the entire summer of 2017 because of this. Concerning the demonstration, there will most likely be more occasions. Be on the lookout for more information on the Nordic Resistance Movement's webpages, Frihetskamp.net, Nordfront.se and Vastarinta.com. And that is all we have for you this week. Our thanks go out to the diligent translators who made this project possible, and also to our listeners who show their support by pitching in financially. If you're interested in donating to our struggle, you can do so by following the links posted in the show notes. Stay strong, comrades, and stay brave, and join us next week for another briefing on the events in the Nordic nation. Hail victory!